Good morning, honorable members. I hope I'm audible. I've been struggling to log in. There are some few network challenges where I am. Am I audible?
Yes, Chair, you must come to the seat.
We stay in rural areas, honorable Mukaus. No, thank you very much. It's almost 10 o'clock. Today's meeting, we are receiving a briefing from SAFCOL. Despite the fact that it's a matter which falls within the Department of Public Enterprise, we then also requested the Department of Rural of Agriculture and Rural Development so that they be part, because the matter that we are dealing with is a matter that also then affects them. So we did send invites to the Department of Rural Development so that they can also come together with SAFCOL, brief us on the issues at hand. I'm hoping from the department, after the last week's meeting, we held engagement with the department in relation to the issues that were raised by members in relation to the attendance. We have agreed that in the meeting where they will be available, the DM and the minister, then they will come and can we request James to just mute? So we want to verify as to whether SAFCOL, together with the Department of Rural Development, they are here. Just before we start.
Good morning, Chair. SAFCOL is here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Rural Development.
Good morning, Chairperson. The Commission as part of Rural Development is here.
Okay. No, that's fine. Thank you very much. We have requested you to come and deal with the item, which also then cover the two departments, and we, without any waste of time, I'm also trying not to put up the camera, just to deal with the bandwidth. We
recording in progress.
Time we can request that. We allow you to make a presentation. I don't know whether SAFCOL will start or the commission will start. Any way that you are okay, then you start. Either SAFCOL or the leader of the delegation from the Department of Rural Development will then deal with that.
Morning, Chairperson.
Yes.
It's the Deputy Minister for Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. We are also invited. We are here with our officials responsible for SAFCOL sites of our environmental and forestry sites.
Okay. No, that's fine. I think we can allow you to have remarks, and then we allow various entities to put up their department, their presentation. I will hand over to you, DM, just to have remarks so that we can then hand over to various departments to deal with the presentations.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and to all our participants in the meeting. Can I also request not to put on my camera, as we have a problem of network this side. Chairperson, I can also only indicate that we are working very closely with SAFCOL as a department. As you might know that we are responsible for forestry. And for the last 2 weeks, we had some thorough discussions in their presentation that they made to the Portfolio Committee, the National Assembly. And therefore, the presentation that they will be making to yourself, issues that has to do with our department, they will be highlighted in the presentation. I'm here with a team. If there are some questions or issues that you'd like to have information on or questions, and then we are ready then to engage yourself and give yourself information with regard to our partnering with SAFCOL. But I must indicate that SAFCOL is working with ourselves and Department of Public Enterprise, and we really don't have a problem with them. We are running very good programs with regard to empowerment of our small growers. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, DM. Can we have the first presentation?
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Deputy Minister and Honorable members and colleagues. Honorable Chair, I think we will start. And if I can ask my colleague, Mr. Vishal, to share the presentation. If you allow me, Chair, I'll switch off the camera so that we manage the bandwidth.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. The presentation we sent in November, I think you wonder why we have November there. We sent it some time ago. And we are going to, if you can go on to the next slide, Mr. Michel. The presentation will cover a broad area of SAFCOL. We thought if we can inform the committee broadly about SAFCOL, where we are and where we're going, and our success, we measure it on three legs. It's on commercial sustainability, that SAFCOL continues to be able to support its operations and become a viable entity, be able to invest in all initiatives that we strategically have planned to. And unless we are commercially sustainable, we'll not be able to invest in the company, we'll not be able to invest in the communities and invest in the other initiatives in terms of enterprise development. So that is critical for us to be a commercially sustainable entity. And the second leg, it's our socio-economic impact. It will come out in the presentation as well, Chair, that it's an important leg for us that if we don't positively impact the communities where we operate, will not be sustainable. Because unless we partner with the communities, then we'll create a negative energy coming from the communities in towards the plantations. And we believe that a meaningful partnership that results in economic impact, socio-economic impact, that's positive, will be something that we have to ensure that it's always on the radar screen. And the third leg is our protection and improvement of the environment on which we operate. We believe that unless we play a role in the protection and improvement of the environment, the next generations will not find the environment in a state that they will be happy with. So we have a big role to play in that space. With global warming coming up or climate change coming up, we even have more responsibilities to ensure that we protect the environment. So, Chairperson, the presentation will cover these areas of commercial, socio-economic impact, and the environment. Thanks, Mr. Lishok. Chair, our companies have just said we have to make sure that we run a commercially viable entity and we have a positive socio-economic impact where we operate. And we achieve that through managing our forest business sustainably, as guided by the Act. And we can only achieve that if we develop within the company a high performance culture, which is values based. So we are driving that to ensure that we achieve the three areas that determine our success. Unless we have a values based culture within the company, we'll not be able to achieve our objectives. That we should drive financial performance, we should drive community participation or partnership, and we should drive environment protection. In so doing, we'll be able to create value for the shareholder, and we'll be able to achieve economic development in the rural areas, where that is where we mainly operate. And currently, the economy is centered in the urban areas. And for sustainability of the economy, we believe that we have to uplift the rural economies so that people don't come to the centers of economy. Instead, we should take the economy to the people. Thanks, Mr. Vishal. And Chair, we thought we should just share the structure of Safcol. That Safcol is as a state-owned entity, 100% owned by state. We have subsidiaries in Komatiland, Abacus, and Kamtraban as they are SOCs, and Komatiland has got a subsidiary in Mozambique where we own 80%. This entity now, we are very proud that the IFLOMA entity is very profitable and the future is looking good. And the Abacus and Kamtrabani were dormant as well. We are going to make sure that they are operationalized for us to create more value for the shareholder. We are in the process of improving governance to move IFLOMA to report directly to Safcol. Just that it's been a bit long because we are working with the authorities in Mozambique. They are not as fast as we thought they would be. Thank you. And to the next level of the company overview is that in and around 2002, some areas of Safcol were privatized, which is the Kubeka Forest, which is in the northern KZN area, Amatwale Forest, which is in the Eastern Cape, MTO, which is in the Western Cape from George to Tsitsikamma. I mean from Stellenbosch, George to Tsitsikamma. And then we have Singisi, which is in around the Kokstad area into the Eastern Cape. And these companies, we are holding minority shares in them after the privatization process. We are holding these shares on behalf of communities. And our plan is to exit through transferring these shares to the rightful communities, because Safcol can't hold them forever for communities. Communities must be trained, skilled, so that they can manage their shares and participate in the activities. And Safcol as an entity owns 9% shares in Siya Kubeka Forest on its own, and then the 16% is holding for on behalf of communities. And we are in the process, after the process of handing over the title deeds to the community in that area, for us to transfer these shares to the community. That will probably be a pilot project for us to transfer the shares to the community, because the community here has been identified they have title deeds, it's for us to know what body of the community represents the community so that we can transfer the shares. And Safcol is committed to sell its own shares, the 9%, to the community so that the community can own 25% of Sierra Tobacco, not just 16%. Thanks, Mr. Shaw. And Chair, where we operate, it's, as we did say, we operate in Northern KZN, in Mpumalanga, up to Limpopo, around Makado. And our operations are mainly in the forestry area, and a little bit of our operations are in the processing part, which is production of lumber or construction timber. And we are considering, we're looking at the amount of land that we operate on. In South Africa, we have about 189,000 hectares of land, and about 121 of that is plantable. And if we include the Mozambican element, we have about 138,000 hectares plantable. But if we really want to impact broadly, or achieve our objectives of financial performance and community outreach, would like to expand this plantable land. And hopefully our discussions with the department, DFFE, and the current discussions we are having with some municipalities to manage some of the plantations will assist us, because we want to bring the communities on board to partner with them. Because if we don't, the communities then end up on the other side of the fence, when we are supposed to be on one side where we work on the land together, or we work on the products that come from the land together. And we believe that partnership can be achieved, and we want to expand our operations. Thank you, Mr. Shaw. Chairperson, we have some successful achievements or highlights which we have listed, and it was a very difficult year, the last financial year. The first quarter of the financial year was almost a dead quarter, but we still managed to improve our performance in terms of management, holistic management of the business. But we also had our own challenges, which we believe that they can be turned around. We have action plans to turn them around. And this includes our processing plant in Makado, which is the biggest employer in the region. We want that to be a profitable part of Safcol, so that we can maintain our presence and can be able to continue to create economic activity around the area. And our implementation of the strategic projects to ensure the growth of the business and the future. We're a bit slow on those, on the implementation. And our modernization of the operations. We want to make sure that we improve efficiencies in our operations, and our operations are safe, so that employees we don't have injuries at work. The current environment, a lot of employees are exposed to injuries because of the way we work, too much manual. So we believe that if we mechanize the areas where there's most injuries, we'll be able to improve efficiency and reduce the chances of injuries. We also have a big challenge with timber theft, which becomes a big problem for us. And the systems that we're not, the company didn't invest for many years. So we are now catching up in terms of investment in our capital. And one of them is the IT system that we are investing in, so that we have a company that we can reliably say it's a solid company. And we eliminate the risk, including failures the risk, including cyber attacks, which have become prevalent lately. We have localized, Honorable Chair, but which we are working on, which includes our level as a result of two elements, management and training, which was not diverse enough. And then with the impact of COVID, it became a bit of a problem to execute those two. And revenue as well, realizing revenue that results in profitability. We didn't meet our target. We had set a target for ourselves, but we didn't meet that. And the TUP as well, as we are driving, harvesting and improving the revenue line, we missed the planting. And due to the weather as well, that was not favorable. Thanks. We have the shareholder compact agreement that we have with the shareholder, and we manage it on monthly basis, quarterly basis, leading to the end of the year. And this past financial year, it was difficult at the beginning. The first quarter was inactive in terms of business activities, and we were hugely behind, but we managed to improve our performance relative to the prior year. Our aim is to meet more than 80% of the shareholder compact targets, but we ended up at 77. We believe that this current financial year, we should be able to move in that direction, because we have learned how to work during the COVID pandemic. So we should be able to navigate. Thank you, Mr. Fischer. Honorable Chair, we always look at our strategic goals and see how do we talk to the strategic development goals and the and NDP so that we are aligned to the plans that are guiding us broadly. And I must say that we are aligned in most areas of our business, in terms of how we conduct our business, in terms of how we invest in the improved operations, how we look after the assets so that the asset value improves, the environment is improved as well, and how we work in the market so that we can grow the business. We continue to invest in research and development. And those are the areas that we believe that will help us to continue to be aligned with the SDGs and the NDP. Thanks, Mr. Michel. Honorable Chair and members, we have a strategy that we believe is the one that guides us on a daily basis as we run the operations so that we don't lose costs. We have gone through a difficult time of having to fix the business, stabilize it, set a good foundation for us to be able to grow from. And I'm happy to say we have been able to stabilize the business. Now we have set it for growth. At the moment, we are using the current products that we have in the business to grow the business, because if we don't grow, it will not be able to do other parts of looking after the socioeconomic aspect and making sure that we look after the environment. And the next level of our strategy is to beneficiate the product that comes out.
And recording stopped.
And the beneficiation will include advanced processing.
Recording in progress.
Which will include bioenergy, biochemicals, moving into the space of housing infrastructure. and many other opportunities that we are looking into. But as we do all this, we continuously create shared value with communities, because as we can't say we'll do it, we'll create value for communities at the end of a successful implementation. But as we implement the strategy, the communities are important stakeholders of ours, because if we don't partner with them, we'll not realize our strategy. Thank you. At the advent of COVID-19 in April 2020, we realized that we were in trouble, that if we didn't look into where we were and where we wanted to go with all the challenges that we were sitting with at the time, wouldn't have been where we are today. So we worked on a scenario planning, and that's as a result of the pandemic and the economic downturn that we experienced at the time. But at the end of the financial year, we came out not very bruised a little bit, but not very bruised, because we managed to operate at medium target. It would have been very good to have been to have achieved the high level or the high road, but the medium road was good enough for us to maintain our operations. We're able to make sure that all employees, none of the employees lost their jobs, none of the employees had a reduction in salary. We made sure that we continued with our community projects, and we make sure that we continued with our enterprise development projects. So for us, that was a plus. We'd have loved to have gone on the upside, but the environment was really difficult for operation. Thanks, Mr. Bishop. Honorable Chair, one of the elements that we keep close is the control space, our governance, our control space. Are we doing the right things all the time? Are we managing the company properly all the time? I must say that with the implementation of the strategy, even the control space has improved drastically. For the past two financial years, coming from 2018-2019 with a qualified audit. The past financial years, we received unqualified audit from Auditor General. And the findings in the last financial year had reduced drastically from the year before. And the assessment by AGSA of our financial viability was good. So the next element now that's set for us is to take it from here and move it upwards. As we said, we are investing in the ICT systems because there was no investment for some time, and that is an area of concern for us, and we are working very hard that by end of this financial year we should have turned this one around so that we move towards green in all areas of our internal controls. Thank you. Also, Honorable Chair, it's we look closely at compliance at all times.
Recording stopped.
So that we don't find ourselves chasing the business performance, and we have slipped in terms of compliance. So this slide just communicates that as we fix the business, the compliance space as well has improved drastically. And we are proud to say we are in a better space now than two years ago. Thank you. And in terms of financial performance, even though it was a difficult year to do business, but we still managed to improve our revenue by 12% compared to the year before, and our operating profit, we posted an operating profit, when the year before we posted an operating loss. And we improved in terms of the net by 32%. And it could have been better if we didn't have the lease finance costs. That means we have to get rid of or pay off our lease debt, so that and the assets that we manage, we should make sure that we manage it well. That element of the income statement doesn't work against us, but instead it works in a positive for us. And the return on equity is improving as well, which talks to broadly whether we are creating value for the shareholder. We are happy to say we are moving this financial year into the positive. And that shows that the company is in the right direction in terms of performance. Thank you. And we can do everything else, but if we don't have the cash, we'll not be able to achieve all the good things we want to do, whether it's with employees, whether it's with investment in the business, whether it's with communities, whether it's with our obligations or commitments to transformation of the industry. We'll not be able to achieve those unless the company generates cash. And we are happy to report that we had planned to manage our cash at around 250 million rands through the pandemic. But at the end of the financial year, we're way above our plan 250. We ended at 337 million cash in the bank. And that figure was 33% higher than the prior year. And our cash ratio, which is the ratio between our cash and our liabilities, it's looking good. We are driving towards a 1-to-1, and we'll be happy to get to a 1-to-1 ratio. That means we'll have cash to pay off our liabilities. If we have debts, we'll be able to pay off. We are not going to go and ask for money. We should be able to pay for our operations and what we owe. And we'll be able to invest in the strategic projects that we want to do. Thank you. The business, as we navigate through this difficult time and making sure that we achieve the strategic objectives, we keep an eye on our risks, and we make sure that our management of the risks are aligned closely with our strategy, so that if there's any risk that we believe could hamper or derail the progress, we find mitigation immediately and we deal with the risk so that the risk doesn't materialize. So we have been successful in managing the risk in the business. But any business will always have risks. So the important thing is to be able to identify potential risks and be able to develop a mitigation so that the risk doesn't materialize or affect the business negatively. Thank you, Mr. Fischel. Some of the risks, Honorable Chair, we have listed them here. COVID-19, it's a risk to us. We thought we should keep it at the top because it can affect the employees in terms of the colleagues being infected or affected, their families. It can also affect the broader stakeholder family, whether it's our partner communities, whether it's our customers or suppliers or service providers. And that would mean that it could negatively affect the progress of the business. The fires are one of the most important areas that we have to keep an eye on. We have realized that many areas, the Western Cape had a bit of problems with fires, which the Western Cape is still recovering. And it takes time. The problem with the fires, it takes time to recover. Our plantations are about 90% pine, and we plant a tree and it takes about in excess of 25 years before we harvest. So if the plantation is burned down, it means we'll wait for 25 years to harvest again. So fires are a disaster, and we have seen occurrences increasing, whether it's in the Americas or it's in Europe or even Australia. So we don't want to find ourselves in such a situation, because then it's going to affect not only the company, but the broader stakeholder family.
Recording in progress.
We manage that very closely, so that even if there's fires, but we contain them as quickly as possible. We have challenges with illegal activities in our area of operations, which includes the theft of timber, which is a big problem, and illegal mining is a big problem, and land invasions, which we are managing. And we believe that if we partner with communities and they realize the value of the plantations, we will be able to reverse these illegal activities. But as a standalone or as an industry, we'll not be able to fight it, but you can only win it if we bring the communities and partner with them, so that they realize the economic benefit of having the plantations around. We have pest and diseases that affect our operations. Climate change is going to have a problem unless everyone globally acts against it. And global climate change doesn't have boundaries like the other problems or risks that we have. Pests don't have boundaries. Illegal activities don't have boundaries. Fire doesn't have boundaries. And COVID-19 doesn't know boundaries. So if we don't work as one to deal with these risks, SAFCOL on its own will not be able to win. But we do our bit. We work with the industry broadly so that the impact of this risk can be minimized or eliminated. Thank you, Bishop. We have some of the risks that we are managing as well. Aging infrastructure, we are reversing that through investment. That's why we have to create cash in the business. The likely loss of forestable land, we are managing that closely, so that we can continue to have forestry and planted land. And the loss of access to water, that we are looking at closely. We are playing our part to make sure that we don't work against this scarce resource that we have, but instead we support the initiatives to protect. Thank you. And the important part in our operations is that employees, when they come to work, they must go home to their homes in the same state that they came to work with. They shouldn't go back as injured employees. So we have managed to zero the fatalities, and we hope to maintain this for years. And this we can make sure that it's zeroed for the next coming years, if the dangerous areas of our operations are mechanized. So we are in the process now to mechanize those dangerous areas of our business, steep hills, and especially for harvesting processes. And we realize that the occurrences of injuries has decreased over years. We want to move it further down. As I said, through technology, we are going to be able to do that. And if we can mechanize, we'll not be moving at the same rate that we see there, but we'll move at a higher rate towards the zero of disabling injuries. I think I've spoken a bit about the COVID-19. We've managed to contain it in the business, and we hope to continue making employees aware of the impact of COVID-19. We have weekly communication to everyone in the company so that we are all informed, so that people don't do things because of lack of knowledge. But
recording stopped.
But
recording in progress.
To know that COVID-19 is dangerous. It's not good that it can continue to be amongst us. The end of it will mean that we'll be better people. But as long as it's lingering around, we're at risk. Thanks, Mr. Bishop. And Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we have about approximately 57% of the land where we operate is affected by land claims, which is a big percentage. And we are not waiting until the claims are concluded, but we partner with communities. We have a strategy that we are partnering with communities pre-settlement, and even post-settlement, we partner with communities. And we don't partner with only the land claimants, but we partner with broadly the communities. And we hope that we lease the land from the department, and we hope that we'll continue to work well with the department so that we can build the asset for the betterment of the people. Because if the plantations are well managed and they're performing well, the communities living around the plantations benefit from those well-run plantations. And the land claims are everywhere from Limpopo, Mpumalanga into KZN. So we have land claims across all our plantations, or most of our plantations. And we believe that, as we discussed earlier, we believe that we have an opportunity to bring in the communities to participate in the forest, in the plantations themselves, and in the manufacturing of forestry products, so that they can be economic activity. And this, we believe, will help in terms of improving how our operations are perceived, and people will be able to protect the assets. And we also started the process to develop industrialists in the processing, so that we can start understanding the real value of the plantations and the trees and the timber, so that we can protect the plantations, because we will then know that there's value. And we contribute to transformation throughout, as we said earlier. We don't leave our partner communities behind. We engage them throughout our journey. Thank you, Michelle. We have designed a post-settlement model that talks to pre-settlement partnership that I spoke about. That pre-settlement, we drive partnership with communities. And then when the settlement is concluded, we work on different areas with communities or land claimants. We work on leasing the land on commercial basis from the land claimants, the successful land claimants. And we partner with the land claimants in the beneficiation of the timber, so that they become part of the downstream economic activity. And we have to make sure that there's an opportunity as a part of post-settlement model that we create more job opportunities for the land claimants and the communities around. And the land claimants must also be able to participate in the supply chain opportunities by provision of services and products. And then we should be able to create training opportunities so that the land claimants are well-trained to be able to appreciate the forestry sector and be able to participate and protect the assets for the next generation. Thanks, Mr. Bishaw. The current land claims, we have a few projects that we are dealing with. We have the Makubu family in around Blemo. We're working with the family to ensure that they participate in the forestry activities. We signed a framework agreement with the Entabeni claimants. They have successfully claimed the land, even though the title deed, they haven't received the title deed yet, but we have already signed an agreement with them on certain areas, economic activities that they want to see. They want the forestry to continue, and they prefer to partner with SAFCOL. So we have already started working on what we do now, even before the land is transferred to them. So we have started with projects already, and some of the downstream activities that we are planning, or projects that we are planning, there will be partners in those projects so that they are active. And Mamatwala community, they did manage to receive get the land. So they successfully claimed the land, and we partnered, we signed an agreement with the community, and we are going to work on the post model or post settlement model with them. And they have agreed, and they like the model that it's not only about leasing the land from them. It's about how do they participate in the operations. So we are going to include them in terms of supply chain, them providing services and products. We are going to include them in the beneficiation projects, that they are partners in the beneficiation projects. The community will have opportunities for training in the forestry sector so that we develop capacity. So we are happy about this milestone. Thank you. Sure. These are the projects that I highlighted earlier, the Entabeni land claimants, the Makubu family, Mamatlola, Makuba community. We working on a framework, collaboration framework that we're planning to conclude before end of March. COVID has caused problems because it was difficult to host workshops. But we are aligned in terms of what we want to achieve for them to be partners of SAFCOL. We tested the model with Kapsehoop community. They are happy. We're working with the Land Claims Commission on this project. We're hoping that will be one of the flagship projects that will inform the future post-settlement of projects. The new one that came through was the Farisi community that we are working with. We are developing a partnership with them. We are going to move from CSI into real economic activity. And then we have the Chivas community, the Royal Council, where we are partnering with them as well on a project around the area there in Venda. Thanks, Michelle. I thought, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, that I should just highlight a few socioeconomic impact initiatives that we embark upon. At times, we don't realize how much impact this project that we do have on the different communities. So we thought we should just share with the committee what are the successes that we realized this past financial year in terms of projects that impacted communities. A lot of our community members were impacted by our projects. And our impact is on food security. Our impact is on health. Our impact is on education. We believe if we focus on those three, we'll have beaten the 80% of our problems in the communities. And parallel to that, it will be more an economic activity, which will be supporting enterprises so that they participate in the forestry value chain. And 17 small-scale farming projects were established, which we're happy about, and quite a number of beneficiaries, and 76 back-owned businesses were part of the incubation program. And the pictures there are showing some of the projects that we do, and there's quite a number of these projects that we do. And thanks to the colleagues in SAFCOL who are always dedicated to working with communities. And we get questions at times, where do we get all this amount of money to help? But we have to be creative in terms of how we do the interventions. We don't have a big bag of money, but the little money that we have, but we make sure that the impact is much higher. Thank you, Michelle. This is the clinic that we handed over during the last financial year in Graskop. We identified the community that they didn't have a clinic. They were working from a community hall, which was not in a good condition. So the decision we made was to have an intervention. So we partnered with Mpumalanga Department of Health, and we delivered this clinic. And I'm happy to say now 1,500 visitors are seen monthly by this staff. And it's not only helping or supporting the Graskop community, but even the neighboring communities. They come over to this this clinic. Thank you, Michelle. And in terms of enterprises and supplier development, we believe that this is the area where we can have a meaningful impact in the transformation part of the sector or of the industry. So we have quite a number of projects that we embarked upon to ensure that we achieve transformation. And the transformation that we drive is mostly in the beneficiation. We have a transformation in the civic culture part where we appoint transformed companies to participate in the looking after the asset, make sure that the asset is in the good state for the next generations. But we also look at where the money is being made, which is the processing part of the timber. That area should be transformed. So we're having interventions in terms of enterprise and supplier development. And a few days ago, we signed an agreement with UNIDO, the United Nations part, that we are going to partner with them on phase three of the project, where they are going to help us strengthen this part, where we are going to capacitate the people, train the people, make sure that we provide equipment to support them and support them to get business. And then we incubate them throughout until they become independent, and they don't only contract to SAFCOL, they will also be able to contract to the broader industry. So this project is going well, and we're happy to say we have made strides. And our fellow partners have realized the value, that means there's something good that we are doing. And in terms of the processing, we realize that the saw milling industry is not transformed at all. So we are having an intervention to support emerging saw millers, that they get opportunities to participate in the processing space. And we said we are going to offer them multi-year contracts, so that they can use the contracts when raise funding, because it's always a problem of financing. But if they have multi-year contracts from our side, and we support them with, you know, terms, payment terms that are, that can support them, we'll be able to achieve the transformation that we so much need. And we do have assist as well in terms of facilitating the funding from different institutions of these enterprises. Thanks, Sean. And honorable members, I think I thought I should talk about the opportunities that we have as a business. And these opportunities are not only talking to the business of Safcol, but talks to, if Safcol succeeds, it means the communities and the other stakeholders are going to derive benefit from the success of Safcol. So as you said, 57% of the land is under claim, and we believe that we have an opportunity to partner with land claimants and communities so that we can have a much bigger asset that all parties can benefit from. And the post-settlement model that we spoke about, we believe that it will be able to support the communities, and it's a, you know, it's an opportunity that we are going to create businesses, and that will have an impact on the broader economy. And currently, we are not utilizing full tree as a historical way of working, but we have decided that we are going to make sure that we move from 50% of yield to 95%. That means all that we leave in the plantations or in the sawmills as residue, we are going to convert that into valuable products, or those into valuable products. And that will increase the earnings, not only by Safcol, but by with the partnerships that we are going to establish. So we are going to partner with private sector in advanced processing, and we are going to partner with communities as well in the processing space. We believe that in the energy, bioenergy and biochemicals, we'll need to partner and attract foreign direct investments into this space. And all in all, if we achieve all this through partnerships with communities, we'll be able to create much more jobs that we need in the value chain. But if we are still sitting at 50%, we are not going to be able to create as many jobs as we would if we move towards the 95%. And the last part is our contribution to the reversal of climate change. We believe that if we plant more trees, we'll be able to contribute to the reversal of the climate change on two fronts. One is we plant the trees to absorb the CO2 from the atmosphere, but our operations as well, we make sure that the emissions are minimal so that we don't emit into the atmosphere the gases that that we don't want. So we believe that if we have more plantable land, we'd be able to play a meaningful role. And we manage, as we drive the business in terms of the harvesting and getting the products, but the regime of planting will be adhered to so that at all times we maintain less than 3% unplantable or unplanted area. Thanks, Mr. Michel. And so one thing that we keep at the close of our, or close to our execution of in all our operations, is if we don't look into the future, we'll not have a sustainable business. So we have to manage our operations successfully, but we have to look into the future. And some of those future activities are the research and development initiatives that we embark upon in terms of the products that we produce, whether they will be relevant in the future, or how can we make them stronger in the future, resistant to pests, and giving better returns in the future. So that is an important project for us. The agroforestry research as well that we embarked upon, that will inform the future of products and the future of activities around the plantations. We are working on the cross-laminated timber project with Stellenbosch University, and we have concluded the first part of the research. We're working with CSR on the initial, on the cellulose nanocrystals, that is the biochemicals, and we are at the point where we are looking into developing business cases for these two, so that we can validate whether there will be business behind them, and those will then attract partnerships, whether it's private sector, community, that will be all included. We'll want that we'll need financing, but we'll need community participation in this project. That's Michelle. And we are driving the strategy that talks to growth. And we believe that we have to keep an eye on some of the areas that would fast track the achievement of this growth, which includes the strategic projects that we embarked upon. That is the sawmill in Makado that we reinvest and bring in new technologies, establish processing partners with communities and black industrialists, and treatment partnership or pole treatment partnership, combined heat and power, that is a bioenergy partnership that we want to set up in Limpopo, and the bioenergy partnership that we want to set up in Sabi with industry. And we believe that unless we counter the COVID-19 so that our employees are not impacted heavily, will not be able to achieve our objective of growth. So we are driving the vaccination. That's when we submitted this presentation, we were sitting at 57% of the employees that were vaccinated. But in 2 weeks ago, we were sitting at 67. We believe that 90% of employees vaccinated will be a safe buffer for us. We believe that strong project management, which we are establishing in the company, will help us to realize the growth. And then the ICT system, because we are in the space of digitization, we have to modernize our operations. We have to modernize how we do work. And we're strengthening our collaboration with communities. As we said, these are key partners, because if they are not part of the economic activity, then we'll sit with the risk of not being able to achieve anything that we want to achieve. We have to eliminate the timber theft, because it's a distraction, and we can only achieve it through partnership with communities and law enforcement agencies. And we're hoping that DEFA will be very kind, that you know, the plantations, at least those in Mpumalanga, that we can start managing them, and hopefully will have a meaningful impact to those communities around Bushbuck Ridge. Thank you, Mr. Bishop. And looking forward, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we're keeping an eye on how are we creating value for the shareholder, and consequently, how are we creating value from the, creating value for the broader stakeholder family. So we keep track of these areas. Our leverage, we have to make sure that we reduce our debt exposure. So our debt to equity ratio must, we want to drop it below one. So that purple line, we have to bring it down. so that we are sitting at a point where we can, you know, leverage from our balance sheet to invest in the business for the future success. We also want to make sure that we increase so that we don't depend on the sale of raw material. We increase the beneficiation so that we can improve the asset turnover. That will help us drastically to improve the way we perform. But the return on equity, the profit margin, asset turnover, and leverage, we can see that they're moving in the right direction. The first three, they're moving positive, and we want them to continue to move positive, and then the leverage should be coming down so that at the end, we have a company that we have, that will be able to create value for the broader stakeholder family. Thank you, Ishan. The slide here is the last slide, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We thought we should just cast our eyes forward to inform the committee in terms of our thinking about where we're going. The 50-50 strategy is it's what guides us, that 50% of our resources must be turned into beneficiated products, because that's where the money is. Not at the moment, 80% of our revenue is coming from raw material, and it's not sustainable. And we want to horizontally grow, and we're hoping that we can achieve that through our collaboration and engagements with the department and the municipalities we are currently engaging. We hopefully will be able to achieve successes there. And we would like to finalize the land claims, because that 57% of land that's under claim, it's a bit of a challenge for us, because there's an element of uncertainty. So in collaboration with the Land Claims Commission, we're hoping that the claims can be concluded so that at least we know how the future looks like. And the other problem is communities are becoming a bit impatient with us. When they see us, then they ask us questions, because they see us on a daily basis and they ask us questions. So we want to be able to have clear answers for them to say, this is the direction we are taking. But we are not waiting for the finalization. We are partnering with them now, so that when that time comes, we are already working in harmony. And we believe that that 50-50 strategy will only be able to achieve it if we diversify our product portfolio beyond what we have now. And some of the products we have identified in the sawmilling space, we have identified a few products that we want to diversify into. We are looking for strategic partnership in the ecotourism space so that we can derive more value in this area. At the current state, it's not performing well. And we believe that as a forestry company, we are not experts in ecotourism. So if we can partner with experts, it would create value for not only for SAFCO, but for the community as well. Because if we achieve that, it means communities will be able to participate in the ecotourism space of SAFCO. The bioenergy, the pole treatment, and the pellet plant that we want to establish, this project are going to bring in a different SAFCO all together. I think we spoke about the partnerships with communities so many times. We believe that this is the key for the success and the implementation of the strategy, that we have to partner with communities and land claimants for us to be able to succeed. Because if we don't, we are not going to succeed. And the revenue and efficiency improvements, we spoke about the mechanization and automation of operations. We believe we are going to do that, and then we reskill the people in high-end jobs so that
we can grow the capacity and not have a lot of people doing manual work, but skill the people so that they can start operating at a higher level. And some of the risky parts of our operations, we mechanize them so that we operate in a safe environment. And the last one, Honorable Chair, is we really want to exit the minorities. We want to transfer the shares to the communities, the rightful owner communities, not just transfer the shares. So we're hoping that this project will be concluded so that the communities can start participating in the forestry value chain, meaningfully through ownership. Thank you, Michelle. Chair, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that is the end of the presentation. I hope we are able to present where SAFCOL is and where we are heading. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that presentation. I just want to check from the commission side if they have got inputs, and also from the Department of Forestry if they've got inputs before we can allow members to interact with the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to SAFCOL with regard to that presentation. As I have indicated at the beginning, that we did have this presentation at a portfolio level. I noticed that there are some few new slides that has been added, but then when one goes through them, I see that it was in response of some of the questions or concerns that has been raised by members of the portfolio committee at National Assembly. Therefore, Chair, I'm happy with the presentation, but as I have indicated at the beginning that I'm accompanied by Tebogo, Chief Director responsible for this area. Can I then, through yourself, maybe ask Tebogo to make some comments if there are, but from myself, I am happy with the presentation because it was clear that from the invitation that we received, it was about the claimants, that is the land claimants, and then we're addressing those issues and also opportunities that exist within SAFCOL for our small growers. From ourselves, I think I'm happy, unless there is something that I might be missing. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, DM. Tebogo, is there anything, or you can allow members to engage and respond if there are questions? Okay.
Chair, I think you can continue in the absence of Tebogo because I as a leader of the delegation from ourselves, I am happy with the presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, that will be the presentation. I see already there is a hand of Honorable BB. Do we have any other hands from honorable members? Honorable BB, you can start while I'm checking other members. Yes, Honorable Arnold. Honorable Mudise, Honorable Ngwenya. In that order, honorable members. Let's start with Mam Bibi.
My hand is up as well, Chairperson.
Honorable Nana, this time is not physical. I see it, yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson.
I see it, Honorable Dada.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to the DM and also DM and her team. and also to the colleagues. Chairperson, thanks very much for this opportunity for us to engage into this wonderful presentation that has been presented. I've got only two questions, Chairperson. The first one will be, Chairperson, as you know that a few years back, there were reports that land claimants who were frustrated by the slow process of resolving their claims that embarked on banning some of SAFCOL's plantations. I just want to know, Chairperson, if this continues to be the case, or those land claims are now on board? That is my first question. My second question, Chairperson, will be, has there been any reported cases at SAFCOL where any of your employees have succumbed to the COVID-19 pandemic? If so, how many? Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Those were my two questions.
Thank you, Mambibi. Honorable Anos.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all the members, and then also to all the colleagues, and then also to the delegation of SAFCOL. Chairperson, I think we can, this time around, we can see that the financial performance of SAFCOL demonstrate the success of the turnaround strategy. But in saying that, Chairperson, they must continue to do more in terms of the sustainability of the company, of the entity. Chairperson, my question in terms of the concern, I think that the committee can also express now in terms of the aging infrastructure of the company that is presenting a risk. We don't see that there is an urgency in terms of doing all they can to mitigate the risk. And we need the company also to just give us feedback in terms of what they are doing to really attend to the rest of the aging infrastructure. Then, Chairperson, the presenter has also mentioned the 16,000 community members that were impacted in terms of the projects that they the project done by SAFCOL. I know the last time or previous time when SAFCOL came before us, there was an amount in terms of the investment in community development programs. And I think we need to maybe get what is that amount, because previous time it was about more than 11 million rand of investment in a community development program. So I think we need also to just get feedback in terms of that. Then, Chairperson, the presenter also mentioned now in terms of the in terms of the ecotourism initiative, or that they need experts in terms of assisting them. But I think, Chairperson, the promotion of ecotourism is also a very important part. I need to check also with SAFCOL, how does it going to impact on your mandate? Then, Chairperson, I think we also need to get an update in terms of the potential export markets, and has there been any progress made in that regard? I think, Chairperson, I will leave it till that now, and maybe a follow up
later. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Arnold. Honorable Modise.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. And let me start by greeting my DM, Ms. Stone, and the department and my colleagues. Chairperson, firstly, let me welcome the presentation from SASCO. I was listening carefully to the presentation. Everything looked promising for the company, and yet the presenter reported a loss of 44.8 million. To what factor can you attribute this loss? This is my first question. The second one, you mentioned the involvement of the private sector on your beneficiation initiatives. Will what be furniture manufacturing, as we once told, or something else? That's my second question, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mdise. Honorable Ngwenya.
Thanks very much, Chair, for allowing me. And also thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, I would like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to participate in this meeting by asking questions and making input and comment. Let me also welcome the presentation and having listening to the presentation. I would like to ask the following important question. Chairperson, on the collaborations between SAFCON, local government, and traditional leaders, I wanted to check whether there are any current collaborations between SAFCON and local government. If yes, are you working in partnership with municipality in terms of integrating the labor plan with the integrated development plan of these municipalities so that meaningful and sustainable relationship could be maintained in the long term? Do you have working relation with traditional authorities? If yes, can you unpack? And if no, why not? The second question, Chair, is on illegal activities. During our previous meeting with SAFCON, it was reported that there were a number of illegal activities which were reported. Do you still experience illegal activities in some plantation, such as invention illegally, meaning illegally harvesting and illegally grazing? We believe that this challenge can be better managed if the SAFCON collaborate with communities. I want to check, Chair, that what is the current situation regarding this illegal activity? The third question, Chairperson, is on to Department of Agriculture, Rural Development and Land Reform. I wanted to check whether there are any dispute on land claims that were referred to court. If yes, can update on dispute referring to court. Fourth question, Chair. I wanted to know that what is the turnaround time to resolve land claim in the past? It was reported that land claims are not resolved on these hands, leading to impatience to communities and resorting to riot. The last question, Chair, I check that to what extent have women and youth benefit from your transformation program that include cooperatives?
Recording stopped.
Thank you very much, Ma'am Ngwenya.
Recording in progress.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Firstly, I would like to make a comment that as we all know that we in the NCOP represent provinces.
Are you still there, Honorable Nana? Honorable Nana, oh, you are back. Yeah. Hey.
I don't know. Maybe I should switch off my...
Your video, yes.
Yeah, I should switch off my video.
Yeah.
My bandwidth is incredibly low. Okay. I'm sorry for that, Chairman. Yeah, as I was saying, as we all know that we in the National Council of Provinces represent provinces, and it has always been our request that when these presentations are made to our committee, SOEs should focus on provinces. So I must really commend Chairman Safcol for being detailed in so far as zooming in provinces is concerned. But I must also mention this, Chairman, that they seem to have zoomed in quite at length when it came to Mpumalanga and Limpopo. I wouldn't know whether you and Honorable Nyambi haven't had a hand in it, because you guys are from those provinces. So yeah, I think it's work in progress, Chairman. It's something that needs to be commended. I would really be eagerly awaiting the next engagement with SAFCOL. They'll probably go into a bit of a detail when it comes to the Eastern Cape as well. So without really wasting time, colleagues have touched on a few issues that I wanted to touch, but I would want to raise an issue with regards to one of the targets that you guys have set yourselves. You have set yourselves a target of growing SAFCOL's revenue in fourfold. By all accounts, that is a big jump. And I'm happy when people set themselves high targets. But as I said, it's a big jump. Let's see if it will be achievable. I wish it will. But having said that, Chairman, with such a target of in growing SAFCOL revenue in fourfold, what will the theft of timber have? What impact will the theft of timber have in achieving that target? Married to that question, the presenter or SAFCOL glanced over the issue of the theft of timber. But I do think it's a serious matter. I would really want to know, Chairman, what is the scale of that of this crime? How much timber do we lose in rands and cents as the country? What has SAFCOL done? I did see they are planning to engage law enforcement agencies. They're planning to bring in private security guards. They're planning to use latest technology to monitor plantations. It's well and good. But those, to me, are things that will be done going into the future. My interest is what has the company done in trying to mitigate the risk of theft of timber in our plantations. But on top of that, how much of a problem it is, or shall I ask it this way, how many of SAFCOL employees have been caught in the act insofar as timber theft is concerned, and what has happened to them? So it's basically a question with four sub-questions, Chairman, and I'm sorry for this. The second question is around the relations between SAFCOL and environmental organizations. I did note that the presenter did mention the issues of climate change and what they are doing as SAFCOL in trying to mitigate the effects of climate change. I would want to check what is the relationship between SAFCOL and environmental organizations, particularly those that are opposed to deforestation and those that are opposed to wood harvesting. And the third question, Chairperson, I would want to know, what do they mean by disabling injuries, which this financial year, I think they're standing at 27. Does this mean
recording stopped?
People who got paralyzed or people who died, but it only said disabling injuries.
Recording in progress.
And the other question that I have, I also do take note that the presenter mentioned the beneficiation projects that they have, but again, you know, probably it's because there isn't sufficient time. He sort of glanced over. It can be an issue for a debate on another day, Chairperson. But I would really want to get to understand that exactly what kind of business activities are local communities involved in, particularly in so far as the value chain is concerned, because it really doesn't make too much sense to me when people, you know, get tenders to chop trees or guard against fires. I think where the real money is, as the presenter correctly pointed out, is in the value chain. They may not respond to this one, Chairperson, probably through you. We can arrange another engagement with them in which we can get a detailed presentation as to exactly how communities benefit, particularly when it comes to value add. I'm sure Safcol will agree with us. One of the key strategies to a sustainable plan insofar as their business is concerned is to invest back to the communities that surround those plantations. But my interest, Chairman, is on how much of that investment is made towards educating children from those communities, take them through to university, train them in agriculture, specializing in forestry, if there's something, if there's a qualification called forestry, or you take them through university until they become experts in the industry and in various sectors of the industry. How much of an investment is being made to those communities in ensuring that these plantations are sustainable going into the future? And lastly, Chairperson, if we can go to page 32, point 7, exit minorities. I would want to know, what is the current status of the dividends that are derived from community shares? Who holds those dividends, and what is being done about them? Because as the presenter said, those shares are yet to be transferred to owner communities. Can he commit, because he said in conclusion, when he was concluding, he couldn't commit to a definite timeline as to when will these shares be transferred to owner communities. Can Safcol commit in this meeting as to when will this project of transferring these shares be concluded? Thank you very much, Chairman, and apologies for being a little bit long. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ari, you are doing that because it is only Limpopo and Mpumalanga, so Eastern Cape must be given more time to engage.
Thank you very much,
honorable members. I see there are no further hands.
Recording we can, stopped.
Allow Safcol to have engagements and anything that relates to issues that require commission, they can also come in, and then the DM will be the last to make comments. Safcol.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Recording in progress.
I'll attempt to answer some of the questions. I hopefully I'll be able to touch on all of them. But if there's any of them that I've missed, my colleagues are here with me. They will be able to come in. If I can start in the same order, Chair. Honorable Bibi's question around the frustration by land claimants regarding the slow process of land claims, whether this is a risk to Safcol operations. It is a big risk, as I did mention in the presentation, that the sooner we conclude the land claims, the better, and the more certain we are going to be about the future of the company.
because at the moment, so far we are working well with land claimants and communities, but we know that there are other forces who have an interest, so which is competing interest to us. So we can't believe that we'll win every time, but this is a bit of a problem for us. We're hoping that us working with the commission will be able to, with the support of the department, that we'll be able to reach finality of the land claims so that we can know the future. And the other problem with it, it's at times some communities unknowingly, they think it's us who are holding the process. They don't understand that we don't drive the process. We get told that this claim has been concluded, so the land has been transferred. So we engage with the community or then land claimants on those bases, but we don't drive the process. But we support where required by department or by the land commission. And then the second question, Chairperson, was around reported cases of employees who succumbed to COVID-19. And we certainly, Chen, lost one employee. One colleague of ours passed on due to COVID-19. May his soul rest in peace. And we tried by all means to educate, as I said, and inform the people about the dangers. So far, we have really managed to protect the employees. And Honorable Arnold had a question around aging infrastructure and what is the risk mitigation that we are embarking on? What is the company doing? We have decided that we are going to make sure that the company is commercially sustainable and financially sound, because we are not going to be able to invest in the upgrade of the infrastructure unless the company generates cash. So we are now happy, as I reported, that the company is generating cash. The accounting in terms of profitability, the accounting of in forestry is very complex. Because one would expect that if you generate cash, it's because your net profit, you realize a net profit. But if you saw, we had a loss, a net loss. We had an operating profit, but we had a net loss. That is because of the financial areas. I think the CFO will come in there. The financial or accounting activities that result in us posting a loss. So I'd like the CFO to come in and to talk to that one, because we generate cash, but then we have a net loss. So we want to continue generating cash so that we can invest. So we are starting internally. We are investing in the mechanization of the forestry operations. We are working with financing institutions. We are advanced in terms of the financing. Some activities, we are financing them using our own balance sheet, that is our own cash. In terms of replacement of equipment, replacement, for instance, of vehicles, replacement of some of the equipment that is not too expensive, we're doing it through our balance sheet. And then the big ticket items like the sawmill, getting, reinvesting in a sawmill, that requires in excess of half a billion rands into a billion rands. That we are looking at either raising funding. So we're looking at that option as we speak now, raising funding through financing institutions or partnering with a company that would bring a technical solution and a financing option. Thirdly, we are looking at a possibility of partnering with a local entity that will bring in funding. And then obviously we'll be sharing in the profits. So we are looking at those three options. But it's an urgent one for us because we have realized that a lot of our sister companies are sitting with a problem of infrastructure collapsing. We don't want to end there. So we are working on that. And then over 16, the other question was over 16 communities, community members. And the question was how much is Safcol spending on these communities? I think, Chairperson, if you allow me, I'll ask my colleagues to just, I'm sure they are working on that already. They will come in and give an answer to that. Ms. Hazel Banda will have an answer to that. The ecotourism question was how will it, the ecotourism state, how will it impact on the mandate? Our mandate of commercial management of forests cannot be done in isolation of the ecotourism because ecotourism is part of the forestry activities. So we will be able to make sure that the assets are managed properly. If we manage ecotourism well, we'll also, if the ecotourism business is successful, if we get opportunities to involve the communities, whether it's for them to sell their wealth to tourists, because if the more the tourists come to the ecotourism side, the more the communities are going to benefit. But if there are no tourists coming, our communities will not benefit. And the value chain extends even to the supplier base, that if the ecotourism business of Safcol is successful, then there will be benefits for suppliers of services. The other question from Honorable Arnold was potential export opportunities. This past financial year, leading into this current financial year, we're looking at export opportunities to the east. That was China and India. But in both cases, the biggest problem that we're having is the prices that they were putting on the table. They wanted to buy our products at a much lower price than the price we are offering at. And the other problem is for the raw material, Safcol, as we speak now, we can't meet the local demand for raw material. So for us as a responsible SOC, we wouldn't want to export raw material at a price lower than local price, whilst the local sawmillers are struggling to get raw material. So we said we will postpone this export of raw material so that we can supply the local industry, because then they process, and then we can, as a country, we can compete on processed products, which is much better. At the same time, we believe that we should move the level lower, that we drive export of processed products, not us processing, exporting logs. Because if we export logs, most of that log is water. We put water onto the ship, it goes onto the other side, the price is lower because the weight has dropped. We believe that it's better for us to export processed timber or processed products, which we are working on. And the other question was, that was all from Honorable Arnold. And Honorable Modise asked a question around the 44 million loss, what we attribute it to. I think, like I said, operationally, we posted a profit of 40 million rands, but the net, there are other accounting considerations that are factored in that resulted in the net loss. But the CFO will talk to that one. But I want to mention, Honorable Chair, that the areas in Safcol that we are working to turn them around, other areas are profitable, including the Mozambique operation that was put into under care and maintenance for many years. It's very profitable now. The areas of the business that are loss making, which we are zooming into, is the processing plant in Makado, the Timber Dollar sawmill, and the ecotourism. That's why we are focusing on those two, so that they can contribute to the bottom line of the business. And then Honorable Mudisa asked about furniture manufacturing. We are looking into that area in partnership with communities or driven, I would say, consortiums that are looking into furniture manufacturing. I think we lost that capability some time ago. We have a project in Limpopo. I think Ms. Banda will come in on this one, where we trained youth in furniture manufacturing. They are doing very well. They are producing a range of products that when we saw them some few months ago, that they were saying they are looking into moving into retail to supply retail chains with furniture. I think Ms. Hazel will come in there, but we are working on to getting into a bigger scale of furniture manufacturing, because there's a gap there. We can't be importing furniture when we have capacity and resources to manufacture our own furniture in the country. And if I can move over to questions from Honorable Ngwenya. The first question was, are there collaborations with local government and traditional authorities? We do have collaborations with traditional authorities. I'll leave that one to my colleague, Ms. Banda, to come in there. Local government, we are starting to look into the housing part. It's a new initiative that we signed an MOU on the housing space. Innovative, we call it innovative housing or alternative housing solutions. So we are looking at that. It's a new project that will include local government, we'll collaborate with local government and the reserves. It's early days, but we are excited about the project. And then the other question from Honorable Ngwenya, it's illegal activities in plantations, whether they are still happening and what are we doing about it? The activities are happening. I mentioned that this is one of our risks. We are partnering with communities. We are having a two-pronged strategy. That one strategy is to partner with communities so that communities are economic beneficiaries of the plantations, so that they help us protect the cow that gives us the milk. The other part is we are partnering with law enforcement agencies to combat this activity. But I'll leave that to my colleague, Ms. Marae. Ms. Christelle will tell us exactly what we are doing, the initiatives we are embarking upon. And the second question from Honorable Ngwenya was, so what is the turnaround to resolve for land claims? It's a bit long. Colleagues from Land Commission, I think they would be able to answer that one. Would have loved to see it quicker, but I know that it's not as easy as we look at it. Sometimes it's quite complex, but I'm sure the colleagues from Land Commission will be able to address that one. And then Honorable Ngwenya as well asked around a question around what benefit did women and youth derive from SAFCOL? As part of our execution of the business, we give priority to opportunities to women, children, people with disability, so that as we have addressed that part, then we know that we have addressed the bigger problem in the country. I have a slide that that maybe I should have included it, that we presented to the portfolio committee on the opportunities that we have to date delivered to the entities or enterprises owned by women and youth. But I think my colleague, Ms. Banda, will talk through that one as well. And Honorable Nana, you had a few questions. The first one was the focus on provinces. I must mention that we are not operating in the Eastern Cape, because our exit in the Eastern Cape happened about around 2002, when the Eastern Cape packages or part of business of Safcol was privatized. So around Amatole, we are no longer operating that side. But we have been engaging, because we are revisiting our expansion of operating land. So the past few weeks, we're engaging with some of the communities in the Eastern Cape, where we can manage the plantations on their behalf. They are unable to manage the plantations. And we're hoping that we'll be able to contribute. And we are approached by, I've forgotten the district as well. They have a challenge on a tree called wattle. So they wanted us to partner with us to turn that wattle, they call it wattle I've forgotten the word they use, but the wattle is growing wildly and it's uncontrollable. So how can you convert that into an economic activity instead of a burden to the district? We're hoping to expand in the Eastern Cape. Hopefully we'll get an opportunity. And then the other question was the growing of revenue, that we want to grow revenue in fourfold. And the question was, it was more about a comment that it's a big jump. It is a big jump, and you can only achieve it. We can't achieve it by selling raw material or selling logs. We can only achieve it by moving that beneficiation from 50% of processing or benefiting or monetizing the tree from 50% to 95%. There's lots of opportunities that we can get into, as I've stated in the presentation. And those areas of beneficiation or processing or advanced processing, it's high value products. So it will be easy for us to achieve that.
Recording stopped.
If we can implement those projects, strategic projects that we are working on, we are advanced in terms of identifying partners to work with on these projects. As I said, we concluded the work with Stellenbosch University on the CLT, and then we concluded research work with CSIR. Those two projects, if implemented successfully, will turn the tide for Safcol completely. And then the other question was, what impact will the timber theft have? It's already having a huge impact on us. I'm not sure exactly in terms of rents and cents, how much we are losing. But as I engage with them, because we are not the only company that's affected, the industry is affected. So we are talking in the range of 10 to 20% impact. But I'll leave that to my colleague, Ms. Christelle, to talk to the timber theft. And then the second question, the fifth question was around how many of Safcol employees were caught and what did we do about them? That one I'll leave it to the COO, Mr. Dramini, to answer. But we do catch some of the employees, and we follow the process, legal process. We follow our own internal process in terms of investigations, and then from there we hand over the cases. But the COO will expand on that, because that's like those employees were in his space. And then climate change, the question was, what is the relationship? I didn't get it well. I didn't capture that one well. But if I can ask my colleague, Ms. Christelle Marais, to respond to the climate change question.
I can help Chairperson if that's what you want.
Yeah, can you repeat it?
Well, thanks, Chairperson. My question was really about your relationship as a subcall with environmental organizations, particularly those that are opposed to deforestation, and those that are concerned about wood harvesting. And I had then linked it to the issue of climate change. I hope that helps. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nana. I think we don't have a very strong relationships with organizations who are against deforestation, but I think my colleague Ms. Christelle can elaborate, can come up with an answer to that. And then the other question was, what do we mean by disabling injuries? I think the COO will come in there as well, but disabling injuries are not fatalities. It's injuries that are not leading to death, but the employee may be injured and is not at work for some time, or to the extent that the employee will not be able to work at all. Those are disabling injuries, with and being unable to work with different time frames. It doesn't include fatalities. And then the other question was beneficiation of projects. What are the communities involved in? Where are they? Are they involved in the value addition? I think the colleagues will come in as well. Well, Mrs. Banda will come in. But we are working with communities in different areas, in the cooperatives, in the CPAs, in different arrangements. But what we believe now, the next level, what we are working on is, as we set up these partnerships with communities, with strategic partners, communities must be shareholders so that they participate in the equity part of the business, not only at the lower level where we are working on not such high value products, but when we get into generating power, as an example, we are working on the CHP plant between Makado and Venda. That plant is put up there by a strategic partner. Shares should be given to the land claimants. The land claimants should be shareholders of that power generating plant that's going to be put up there. So those are we are working on. And then the other question was around the investment in communities. How much investment is made to communities? Regarding training from early stages of training up to tertiary. I received input from colleagues, but it's quite a huge activity that we do. If I can just quickly talk about high level, because training is, we spend a lot of money on training. I think my colleague, Ms. Motseko, will come in to say the numbers exactly how much are we spending on training. We're having interventions in excess of 1,000 the past financial year of training. And this is across the board from learnerships to bursaries at tertiary institutions. So in semiculture, we have 22 beneficiaries in this current financial year as we speak now. Five from KZN, two from Limpopo, one from Free State, 12 from Mpumalanga, and two from the Northwest. And general education training, which is NQF level one, we have 20 beneficiaries, 14 from Mpumalanga, two from KZN around Nongoma, and then four from Limpopo around Zanin, Makado, and Tulamere. And then in wood processing, which is NQF level two, we have 22 beneficiaries this current financial year, 22 from Limpopo. I mean, all of them are from Limpopo around Triando. And furniture making, as we spoke earlier, we have 40 beneficiaries, all of them from Mpumalanga, from Hazyview and Red Hill. And then we have also short skills programs, which includes basic chainsaw operating and brush cutter. That's the operations in the field, so that when they get contracted, they have job opportunities to be able to apply their skills. We have 25 beneficiaries there all around Sabi in Mpumalanga. And then apprenticeships in Limpopo, we have from electrical fitters, millwright, boiler making, diesel mechanic. It's quite a broad spectrum, but all of them are from Limpopo, and there's 11 of them. And national diploma, we have four beneficiaries, one from Western Cape, two from Mpumalanga, and one from Limpopo. This is in mechanical engineering. And then advanced diploma in forestry. Three beneficiaries, two Western Cape, one Mpumalanga, and honors in marketing and communication in Gauteng, one Gauteng, diploma in human capital, there's two of them, and they're from Mpumalanga and Western Cape, and business management, Gauteng, one, and information technology, we have one from Limpopo, from Mpumalanga, and degree in nature conservation, we have one from Mpumalanga. And then the bursaries in the higher centers of higher learning, we have two awarded to students from Mpumalanga, and degree in finance and accounting, we have two from Gauteng and two from Gauteng and Mpumalanga, and masters in business in MBA, we have one from Gauteng and one from Mpumalanga, and diploma in human capital are two from Mpumalanga. And then the graduate in business diploma, two from Mpumalanga, BTech, one from Mpumalanga, and degree in risk management, one in Limpopo and one from Mpumalanga. So we have quite a number of interventions that we drive in the business. These numbers are only for this financial year, and we are only in the third quarter of the financial year. The last question was around the question was related to exit of minorities. The question was, what is the status of the dividends? We have the four companies that were privatized, which is MTO in the Western Cape, Amatole from the Eastern Cape, and then Singisi in around Kokstad area into the Eastern Cape. And then we have Siyaqhubeka in Northern KZN. Of all these four entities, the only company that pays dividends, which we are holding for the communities, those dividends are there, they are being ring-fenced. The money is ring-fenced for the communities. So the day the shares are transferred, they will be transferred with those dividends. The only company that's paying dividends is CIA Quebec. The other three companies are not paying dividends. Singizi and MTO, they don't only pay dividends, but they have diluted the shares, which we have had an intervention. We said they can't continue. That's why we believe that it's important that we exit and then transfer the shares, so that when they talk about increasing the asset value, then the communities become part of the benefit of increasing the asset value. So we have the dividends ring fenced. So as soon as the communities receive their shares, then the dividends will come through. And when the land is claimed as well, there should be benefit for the communities who own the land, because it's not only about the leasing of the land, but also the dividends that come from the operating on the land. Honorable Chair, I think I've tried to cover the questions, and my colleagues can come in, Chair, if you allow them.
Yeah, we are in your hands.
I think colleagues can come in. CFO, you can come in first.
Thank you, CEO, and good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. The CEO wanted me to just unpack some of the contributing factors to that loss that you see on the financial statements. Sorry. So it was recognized that we have that operating profit of 40 million for FY21, and that is that already takes into account a very significant accounting adjustment, which is called the fair valuation of the biological assets. It's an accounting requirement. So it's our most the biggest financial asset that we have on the book. So it swings in any direction quite a lot when we revalue that at the end of the year. So the 39 million already includes that. But the other big thing that is causing us to end up with that 44 million loss after tax is the fact that we have to bring in terms of IFRS 16, that's on leases, we have to bring in the finance lease costs relating to the DFFE lease. And besides the fact that it is quite a significant amount monthly on its own, it also spans a very long time period. The lease is calculated over 70 years, and then you need to bring in that full lease onto your balance sheet. And every year there's an accounting adjustment where you unwind the interest that's included in that calculation. But either way, so that 150 million loss that you see as lease finance cost is the main accounting entry that is contributing to that overall loss. So it's not a cash expense or a realized loss. It is mainly coming from the accounting side. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Other colleagues from SAFCOL who wants to contribute? Hazel Banda.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members.
Recording stopped.
I've been requested by the CEO to tackle a few questions. I'm going to start firstly with the 16,000 community members that have been impacted. So SAFCOL has invested in high impact projects through the provision of social infrastructure, through small scale farming, healthcare facilities, as well as education. So this 16,000 means the support that we've given to community members through the various projects that we've embarked on on the CSI program. The amount that we've spent over the two financial years, in the financial year 2019-2020, Chairperson, SAFCOL has spent over 10.8 million. And in the previous financial year, the financial year 2020-2021, we spent 4.3 million. So over the 2 years, Chairperson, we've spent 15.192 million for community projects. CEO has also requested that I elaborate on the relationship that we have with traditional authorities, or if we have a relationship with traditional authorities. Yes, indeed, Chairperson, we have relationships with almost all the traditional authorities where we operate in. SAFCOL has signed social compacts with communities and has established joint community forums where we meet on a quarterly basis. In those forums, the traditional authority sits in those forums, so we engage with authorities on a regular basis. So we believe that we cannot continue operating as SAFCOL if we do not have those relationships with the traditional authorities. We also have collaborated with the local municipalities in the same forums, the joint community forums. We have the LED managers that sit there. So that's where we discuss the projects. So obviously the IDPs are also discussed and prioritized. And that also goes to the communities, the representation of communities are at the various forums, the JCFs, which is the Joint Community Forums, Chairperson. And then in terms of the furniture manufacturing, we have established cooperatives and we've supported cooperatives over the past years. The cooperative that has been doing extremely well that the CEO spoke about is Limpuma Cooperative, which is based in Limpopo Province in Toyando. So a group of young people, about 18 young people from various villages have embarked on a learnership program at SAFCOL as part of the exit program, we've assisted them in establishing a cooperative. We've supported them and after supporting them, they've done extremely well. The likes of the local municipality, the district municipality, social services, they've also come on board to support this cooperative. CEO has indicated that they are extremely, they're doing well. They are producing household furniture. They are producing coffins and many other furniture. So we are extremely proud of them. I think that is it from my side, Chairperson. Benefit of women and youth. Through our procurement opportunities, we have promoted women as well as youth. From the 11 contractors that have been appointed in the civic culture space, I think about 80% are owned by women and youth. So we definitely prioritize women and youth through preferential procurement opportunities. And in the CSI space, most of the projects that we support in small growers are actually women-owned cooperatives. Thank you, Chairperson. I think that's it from my side, if I haven't left anything out.
Thank you very much. Anyone from SAFCOL in your order, you can follow each other.
Thank you. Good morning.
Recording in progress.
I just want to respond quickly to the questions around timber theft, security, etc. At the moment, we are focused quite extensively over the last year to start quantifying what is physically being lost to timber theft. We definitely seeing some trends relating to the age of specific plantations and the vulnerability of certain genuses. The numbers that I have it's very provisional at this point, but it looks like around 1.5 million to 2 million per year per plantation. And we are, I apologize if our presentation came across as security interventions we're planning to do. I will just share briefly what we are currently doing already to address that. We have established personal relationships, and we continue to maintain those relationships with the police commanders at each of our plantations. We also, at a national level, through Business Against Crime and the Forestry South Africa initiative, engage with the SAPS on a national level, and then also with the NPA in provinces to make sure that we align on the type of evidence that we may require to actually take successful legal action. We have also taken successful legal action around communities and interdicting specific areas where we do find excessive in innovation in around our plantations, and also had in unfortunately in one or two instances had to interdict the police itself for not acting on cases that we've laid. We also engaged then with communities, the municipalities, the other security providers, the forestry sectors, and various industrial risk information centers to build our intelligence around possible syndicates operating in the forestry sector. We also in the process of increasing our ability on forensic activities and to respond to whistleblowing, and our ethics program to promote employees to come forward with information that they may have, and we're seeing some uptrend in that, where we have had one or two cases where employees were caught to be involved. Those have been treated in terms of criminal cases being laid and the disciplinary process having been followed. In terms of our physical security, we obviously have guards, armed response. We're working on electric fences, strong rooms, etc., where we see trends. For instance, at one stage, we had definitely we've been a target around our chainsaws being stolen, and we've been obviously aligned our insurance program to that to make sure that we have cover where we are specifically vulnerable. And then, as Ms. Banda has said, on specific protection of the forests, we're working very closely with communities and tribal authorities through the JCFs and also through the communal property associations where those exist already. We're also busy with a piloting project in terms of which we would like to explore drone technology, where we can see whether there is activities under the canopy in the forest as where there shouldn't be any activity. Then just on the question around deforestation and our relationship with environmental, our FSC certification, which we this year hold for the 24th year, is very strict around deforestation. So we are not allowed to let that happen in our forest. And I think the requirement is to replant within 12 months of having harvested any particular area. And also that is why our TUP needs to remain as low as possible as per the Shareholder Compact. One area on environmental that we have a bit of a challenge on is the allocation of mining licenses by the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, and we've requested assistance from DPE to assist us in resolving that. And then the last question around the disabling injuries, I can confirm in the previous financial year and also in the current financial year, we've had no disablement on a permanent basis. And as CEO says, all employees have recovered fully from injuries, and it was basically time lost that is being recorded in that figure. I think that is it from my side. Thank you, Chair.
Chair. Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. I think most of the questions have already been responded to by Christelle. Maybe just a comment on the DIFR. So the disabling injury frequency rate is an industry standard that helps us to monitor safety in our plantations and in our operations at large. So the figure that we have is basically derived from an industry standard in terms of the number of hours worked and how many people are booked off as a result of not being able to perform their work. But we well within the industry norm, and we're continuously improving in terms of safety. So in terms of timber theft, I think most of it has already been covered by Christelle. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I want to check from the DM if you have got comments, because I think
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to staff call responses to the questions that were raised by members. But maybe one area that we should have indicated is the issue of the forest sector master plan that has been approved by cabinet last year in November, that is 2020. This master plan is mostly responding to most of the issues that has been raised by members, and also the responses that came from the staff call delegation, especially issues of the timber theft that affect the entire industry, both the state and the private plantation. And so in government, in establishing this master plan, Chairperson, it was precisely to avoid entities working in silos, like the report that we are getting now from SAFCOL with regard to timber theft, what is in place to try and avoid that, and working together with other sister departments like your SAFs, traditional authorities, industry, labor, everything that they have said here, it's being addressed in the forestry sector master plan. As we have also indicated to the portfolio committee, maybe we'll have to have time also to come to the select committee so that we can take you through the master plan, because we have just started with the second phase. We are still within the first phase that we have just completed. When it comes to implementation, we are now in the second phase. So I think, Chair, in order for us to understand what is happening in the industry, it will be good to have a report that shows that we are working together, because the challenges and the responses that they are giving, especially on issues of timber theft, is not something that affects them only as SAFCOL. It affects the entire industry. Therefore, if time permits, I will maybe give a DDG responsible for forestry just to say a few words when it comes to the shares. You also mentioned issues of shares that are supposed to be transferred to the communities. Then there are talks that are taking place between ourselves and the sister department and SAFCOL on how to deal with that matter. If I can give to Pumeza just 1 minute just to give clarities on the issue of the transfer of those shares. From myself, Chairperson, I would just say thank you very much for the invitation, because we are working very close with SAFCOL. Therefore, it is very important that when SAFCOL comes to the select committee of the portfolio committee, we should also understand the issues that they are coming to brief the portfolio committee and the select committee about. But we are happy so far. But those are some of the things that I thought maybe I should correct, that these challenges, it's not only affecting them. It affects the entire industry, especially on the issue of the timber theft. Thank you very much. Can I give to my DDG responsible for forestry just for 2 minutes on the issue of the community shares? Thanks, Chairperson.
Through you, Honorable Chair, good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Good afternoon to the DM and the colleagues. My name is Pumeza Notata. I'm with the forestry branch. As the DM has mentioned, we are working very closely with SAFCOL and DPE on the matter of the minority shares, because from the beginning, when the land was privatized in the late 90s, there was that understanding that these shares would accrue to the communities. There has been some challenges with the identification of the communities and also setting up the governance structures. And that is a process that we are starting to embark on to just make sure that those communities or community representatives that are identified as people that are representing the communities are the legit ones. And we work on this with the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development to assist us in ensuring that the governance structures are in place. So we've had some preliminary discussions between ourselves and DPE, and we are now in a process of roping in a rural development to make sure that when we look at, for instance, a pilot that we would like to start with in KZN, where the president had transferred some land in 2018, and we can then rope in that community and pilot this project there, because SAFCOL has finalized all the valuation of the shares and everything that is required. So we are now working with the DPE and rural development to try and make sure that the shares will be transferred to the communities, but we would just want to make sure that it's the right people. And if there's a need for us to do capacity building, that is done so that they can know what their responsibilities are in terms of managing those shares, but also in making sure that the dividends accrue to the right people at the end and not necessarily at the top structures. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, DM. I see the hand of Nomfundo Gobodo. Okay, can you say something?
Can you repeat your question?
No, I was saying I saw the hand here of Nomfundo Gobodo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hope that you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you now. Yes.
I am representing the Commission on Restitution of Land Rights. And I just wanted to remind you that we are still in the meeting and that we had prepared a presentation, if you will still allow us to present. Thank you, Chair.
No, you can only comment if you, we might not allow you to do a presentation now. We are limited in terms of time. We can only allow you to make comments if there are any comments that you want to make in as far as the issues raised by members. If there is nothing that you want to comment further, we are fine.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Our invitation by the committee was done and we were requested to make a presentation, which we have shared with the committee. I am joined by the Deputy Land Claims Commissioner as well as the Regional Land Claims Commissioner. The presentation, then we will hopefully request that you'll find time to look at it. But I will ask Cindy Benyani, who is the regional land, the deputy, to just comment on some of the issues, because there are critical issues as far as the commission is concerned that would have wanted the committee to be aware of, but it is in the presentation. So I will hand over then quickly to Cindy Benyani to just give a summary of the key issues that we wanted to bring to attention.
Chairman, before that, can I come in, please? Because I think there will be one or two matters that can be lost should we entertain this next presentation or comments having not properly concluded on the issues on the responses by SAFCOL. I would humbly request that you allow me to say one line.
In 2 minutes.
Again, gentlemen?
In 2 minutes.
I'll do so in in 1 minute, actually. Thank you very much, Chairman. I'm happy with the responses of the DM and also of SAFCOL, and I'm also pleased that we have been given an invitation to listen to a presentation on the forest charter, and it's a matter that you will have to decide as our leader in the committee whether we will entertain it or not. But I would strongly recommend that we do so, because I do think it will really shed it will give us more give us more insight into the operations of SAFCOL. And lastly, Chairman, it's worrying that SAFCOL had to interdict the police because the police were not taking action on cases that were reported by the entity. And I would want to suggest to you, and of course again it's your prerogative and your decision, that we should consider in the new year holding a joint committee meeting with the select committee on police, and also invite SAFCOL and the police themselves, so we can iron out these issues and put them to rest once and for all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. The Lands Claim Commission, you can have your comments. I'm giving you 5-10 minutes. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, good afternoon. I'll be very brief. We've been requested to submit a formal presentation to the Secretariat, which we've done, Chairperson. I just want to indicate, as the Commission, we had two lodgement phases. The first phase was before 1998, and we still have about under 8,000 claims outstanding. And then we had a second lodgement period, which were interdicted by the Constitutional Court, where we received about 160,000 claims. Of the outstanding claims before the 1998 cutoff date, about 13%, 13%, is falling within the forestry sector itself. And then I must also make a disclaimer that we've got about 40%, which is mixed, which include forestry and a whole host of other sectors. And then we also have about 35% of our claims. So the number that SAFCOL and other forestry entities usually will refer to might increase quite significantly since some of that research will be done. We have most of our outstanding claims, Chairperson, in provinces such as KZN, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. And then I also, in the presentation itself, Chairperson, we submitted to you statistical information as to the status, and we also provided a report on the master plan, the forestry master plan that the Honorable Minister referred to, Chairperson, which we have been included to, as well as progress, and all our progress is positive green mark. We've achieved all our targets in the forestry master plan. But two key points that I need to highlight is when it comes to the 7-step business process within the land claims process itself, we find a lot of tension or a lot of delay in implementing the settlement models with claimant committees because of a number of reasons. The first reason is we had a settlement model, Chairperson, which we are busy currently reviewing, and we even have a pilot, which is CAPSAWAP, which is a SAFCOL property, where we found that claimant communities were not favorable to some of the recommendations the forestry sector provided. The forestry sector wanted the commission mostly to provide financial compensation and some lease agreement. And I'm not specifically referring to Safcol only, but the forestry sector itself. So we've got a combination of models which we've included in the presentation, but for the sake of time today, I won't go through that itself. Secondly, we also have a whole host of issues as much as we are trying to settle land claims, because this is a very lucrative business. You've got the issue of land claims committees jumping up, which is not related to the land claimants itself, which is delaying the conflict. And there's accusations from claimant communities to some extent it's contributed by the forest entities itself. So yes, Chairperson, there was a question on the acknowledgement or on the delay of the settlement of claims, Chairperson. I wanted to acknowledge that the outstanding claims, the number is under 8,000, but it affects the forestry sector quite significantly. There's a number of sector policy related issues that have also come up in the settlement models, which we wanted to refer to today and so forth. In the presentation itself, just to summarize, Chairperson, the first part, we just gave our legislative mandate. We went through the business processes. We gave our terminology because there's a huge difference between a settled and a finalized claim. Members of SAFCO previously referred to settled, where we signed agreements, but the portions of land and title deeds have not been handed over or financial compensation paid, which is finalized. We are also addressing the number of claims and which provinces it falls to. We also address the issue of province-specific issues. We also address issues regarding sector-specific issues. And some of the issues we are trying to mitigate is challenges that entities such as SAFCOL and so forth is experiencing when it comes to post-settlement is the issue of MOU that the Department of Forestry is trying to establish and so forth. Chairperson, that is my 5 minutes. I hope I've addressed the question in the delay when it comes to settlement. I think I haven't done justice to it, but that is just a brief. Maybe if there's time in the future date, the commission can be in a position to go through all the details. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You tried your best. You tried your best to respond to the issues on delays. And we want to thank you very much as the commission for being part. We knew that we received your presentation. The honorable members have already got the presentation. If they have got any other follow-up questions in relation to the presentation that you gave us, we'll do that in writing, and we'll request that the commission indeed respond in writing. We are left with only 15 minutes, which we also need to deal with internal committee matters. But let me take this opportunity to thank the DM SAFCOL together with the commission for being part of the select committee. Looking at the two presentations and engagements from honorable members, you can see that we still have got a long way. We're still going to request you to come back, DM, together with SAFCOL and the commission to come and have further engagements with the select committee. There are quite a number of outstanding issues. If you look at it, most of the issues are not focused on one department. They are in different departments. The issue of theft, which also affect the Department of Police. The other issues which also affect the NPA and the Department of Justice. We'll try and find a way working together with the administration of the committee on how we can put up a team that deals with a lot of other issues in collaboration with other departments. We will also call you again, DM, to deal with the forestry master plan so that the select committee can be briefed on it and find a way in which we factor in different areas that are needed to be explained in that forestry master plan. Lastly, DM, we want to thank you and SAFCOL for the presentation, and also to indicate that it's sometimes refreshing to find that you still have got entities that are doing well, even though there are still some few gaps there and there. It is quite refreshing when you hear an entity doing their best to ensure that they are sustainable in their own. So we want to thank you in that regard. We gonna release you, DM, the commission, as well as the team from SAFCOL, and so that we can remain finalizing our internal committee matters. Thank you very much, DM.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye.
Honorable members, just quickly on internal issues, we have got minutes that were sent to honorable members. I want to check whether honorable members have received those minutes on time. I think they were sent yesterday. Did you receive the minutes?
Yes, Chair, we received them.
We are presenting those minutes to you, honorable members. For adoption.
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Honorable Mudise moves for the adoption of the minutes. Honorable Bibi.
Chair, I second the adoption of the minutes. Thank you.
How do you say it in Zulu? Yeah, we want you to say it. Honorable Nana wants you to say it.
I think it's very happy where it is, eh?
Thank you very much,
Chairman.
Yes.
One issue that I would want to bring to your attention before you conclude. On the outstanding issues that we have just spoken to. SAFCOL has also mentioned illegal mining on their premises. And I'm sure we can, and the lady who spoke last kind of suggested that these people get given mining permits by the Department of Mineral Resources. So it's probably one of the departments that should be on your radar screen as well. Just a suggestion, Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, no, that's fine. We'll look at it. We still have got serious outstanding issues with the SAFCOL. We'll look at what we can prioritize in the next term, Eric and the team, and see what we can put together so that they come back. It's also important that we give them support when entities are doing well. We see areas where they might have challenges. Mm. We must give them support in those areas so that we don't have all collapsing entities. The ones that are doing well must be given support.
Agreed.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members, and thank you very much for attending the meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.